Today's daf is daf Kufchof Dalid, and we continue today on the second line. Now, we had just finished learning that the definition of what is considered to be murzik, for a bechor to be noito pishnayim, is, as the Braita puts it, hiniach lemaviyem para muhkeret umuskeret biyad achirim, o shaita ro'a be'afar. So in other words, what we learned from that was that if what is in the reshus of either a renter or a shepherd or the actual ownership of the cow by the estate, but the cow's out to pasture and nobody's putting in any work. So if the common denominator there is that no money or work that is coming directly from the estate is being put into this animal, then it's considered to be a shvacha that is ati memela, and shvacha de memela is considered to be muhzak in the hand of the father, and therefore bechor will be neito pishnayim because nothing much has changed since the death. If, however, the estate needs to invest, then the addition is not part of what the bechor gets. Today we want to have the insight into exactly whose opinion that was following. Asks the Gemara money. So who is the Tana that says that something that is an automatic shvacha belongs indeed to the Chelek HaBechor as well? Rebbe, the Tanya. We see the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan in the following. The Bright says, Ein Bechor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshav chunekasim le'achar mitat avihem, that if the property becomes worth more after the death of a father, then the Bechor is not considered to be able to take from it because it's roi, not mulzak. And it means even if it was shvach memela. So it just happens on its own. It's as if it's an automatic thing. The cow is grazing out there and it has a baby, and now we've got a lot more money we had before. Say the Rabbanan, doesn't matter. It's still something that wasn't owned by the father, and therefore a bechor isn't neita. Rebbe Omer, whereas Rebbe says, Omer ani, bechor no tel pishnayim b'shevach sheshofkin akosim liachar mitat aviyem, avalo b'shevach shishbichu yitomim liachar mitat aviyem. Yes, it's possible for a bechor to be neito pishnayim, even where the property was better off later than it was at the time of his death, but only if it happens on its own. It's shavach, meaning it's a memela. But if somebody had to invest, shehishbichu, which means that there was a verb here, somebody was mishabeach it, then I agree that in that case, it's considered to be ra'ui and not muhzak. Which is, of course, exactly what Rebbe had said. What we had said before in the Bright without knowing that it was Rebbe. It's clear now that it's Rebbe. There's also, says Rebbe, and he continues now, there's also another case, and that is where the estate now inherits initially a shtar chov. Then when they collect on that shtar chov, since it is a document that provides a lien on a loan that's owed, bechor notel pishnayim. So when they collect now on that shtar, it's considered to be muhzak in the hands of the father because he could always have collected it. So if it was a loan that was made by Alper, then you're right. Certainly it's not considered to be in the reshus of the father until it's repaid, and by then he had already passed on. But if we're talking about a shtar, then since he's got a lien on it, it's as if he actually had collected it, bechayav, and then died, in which case the bechor would be neitel. Yatsa aleihem shtar chol, and what's more, everybody would agree that where a man dies and leaves an estate with a bechor and pshutim, and now somebody has a shtar chov with a lien against the estate, so then the bechor notein pishnayim. In that case, since the lien against the estate applies to every molecule equally, and since the bechor has taken double, so in that case, the bechor gives now double towards paying up the loan. The imam ar eni notein ve'eni notel. If he says, you know what, forget it, I will not take a chelek bechora, and I also will not pay double. What advantage is there in that? Says Tosis, there could be an advantage, because let's say that the other brothers are ketanim, or maybe they're out of the country, and they can't be sued at this moment. So if the bechor takes it, so then that means that the guy is going to get the double chelek. If the bechor refuses the double chelek, so then the most that the guy can do is, the one who has the lien, is to take the chelek ha-poshet of that bechor. In that way, He certainly buys time for the estate. And who knows, you know, the end the dog may learn to talk. So there is an advantage in his refusing to pay the extra portion, as long as he doesn't take. So now, Rishai, what is the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rebbe? So what's the logic to it? Why the Rabbanan do they hold that you don't receive even shvacha da'ati memela? That's because the Torah says, et abachor ben asnua yakir latetlo pishnaim. Latetlo is not quite the same as lahorishlo. Latetlo is the word that you would use when you're giving a gift. Matana is latet. And therefore, since matana karyei rachmana, the Torah is referring to the ichelek of the Yerushas if it were a gift. And therefore we say, very simply, that ma matana admatya liyadei. You can't give a gift before it got into your own hands, because then it's a davar shelo bali olam. And therefore, the Pasuk's comparison to a gift tells you that av chelek bechora ademat yaliyadei, the same halakha would be true of the chelek of a bechora, so that either the father literally has it or he doesn't. V'Rabbi Omer, the Torah says, Omer kra pi shnayim. Pi shnayim means that actually the two are comparable. You don't have to say pi shnayim. You just have to say that he takes more. Shechem Echad, as we saw. So, Makish Chelek Bechora, Lechelek Pashut. What it's saying is, Pishnaim, is that the two Chalokim are related, and that they're the same. Just like the Chelek Pashut. He can receive what the father had, even though at the time the father died, it wasn't entirely in his hand. So, Afagav de lo mataliyadeh. Af chelek bechora, af agav de lo mataliyadeh. So that means that it does not have to be literally a gift. Of course, Rebbe's also moda that if it's roi, literally roi, I mean, he's not denying the fact that the pasuk says bechol asher yimotzelo. Yimotzelo means that it has to be his and not something that he's just hoping to get. But in this case, it's considered to be the equivalent of matzah, Tanya's Rebbe. And how did the Rabbanan understand the hekesh of the Pishnaim? It does say Aktiv Pishnaim, which means that the Chelek Bechor and the Chelek HaPashut are compared to each other. Says the Gemara, they are, but in terms of a whole different din. Ha'ula Meitvalai Achad Matzah. That's coming to tell me that if the Bechor says, I want to have my two parts that they should have, now they should be contiguous. And another brother says, no, I like that field. It's not fair. You take two non-contiguous fields. The din is that that other brother cannot force now al pi hagoral. Because what's happening is that the Torah is saying, pishnaim, it's one piece. Look at it as one double-sized piece. And therefore, it's not correct to say that he should take it in two separate areas and force him now to double the cost of his investments and not to have the savings of scale. V'Rabbi Nami, what does Rebbe do with the fact that it says latetla, which is mashma that should have the same din as a matana? Rebbe doesn't have a problem, of course, learning out that same halach of bar mitzvah from the fact that it's pishnai. He just told it means across the board pishnai. But what does Rebbe do with the pasuk that compares bechorah to a matana? How who? Rebbe says, that's coming to tell me. She'im amar eni notel ve'eni notein reshai. That in the same way that a gift, you can't be mechayev of a person to take a gift. So since the Torah is comparing over here the chelek ha'bechor to a matana rather than a Yerusha, it means that he can refuse the Yerusha. Normally, there's no way to refuse a Yerusha. So you want to get rid of a Yerusha, you have to actually hand it over. But since the Torah calls it a matana, it's over here, the Bechor can say, I don't want to accept that matana. Omer of Papa, Dikla Va'alim, let's take a case where the father left a palm tree, and it was a sapling, and now it became big, thick, strong palm tree. And now they want to come along and divide the estate. Or let's say he left them land, Ara. And now, Asik Sirton, it's been silting up, and now it's got a lot of very, very rich sediment on it, and it's worth much more money now. So there, even the Rabbanan agree, the Kulei Amelo Pligi Deshak, even the Rabbanan agree that that is the same item, and it's considered to be Mugzak, even though it's in better shape than it was, but it's part of what was there before, and therefore it's considered to be Mugzak. The thing that they're disagreeing on is kipligi b'chafura v'havishuvli, in a case where you had now a field that had in it little shoots that has not yet developed into true grain, and then it became shuvli, it became actual grain pieces. Where over there, Rebbe holds mar sovar, that's called shivcha b'meila, because the thing was in his rishus. Sheinken, the Rabbanan hold, mar sovar ishtani, that this is not the same thing. It's considered to be a ponim chadosh, it's a whole new thing. And that's not muhzak biyodai. So there would be, and we now see that there are cases indeed, where the Rabbanan are also made that something that is not completely in the rishus of the father is nonetheless part of the chelik b'chora. Amar Rabba bar Chana, Amar Pchia, as far as the halacha is concerned, asa kedivrei Rabbi asa, asa kedivrei Chachamim asa. There's no clear-cut psak halacha on this, and therefore, whatever a dayan rules in these cases, it's considered to be a correct psak, and it's not considered to be a mistake in halacha. So therefore, whatever a judge would say would stand. If it was mamish atoya, then it would be chayzer. So we're paskening over here is not atoya. Why is this? Because Reb Chiya was misapkali, he wasn't sure what the rule is. Whether yaloka karabi michaviro velo michavirav, do we pasken like Rebbe only where he argues with the yachid, but not where he argues with the rabbi, and here he's arguing with the rabbi, or perhaps we paskin like Rebbe, even where he is chilek on the Rabbi. So therefore, since I can't be sure, if a dayan holds that we paskin like Rebbe, even in this case, which connected the Rabbi, it's not possible to prove that he was to'eh. Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Rav, asur la'asot k'divei Rebbe. Whereas Reb Nachman disagrees, and he holds, if you would do such a thing, it would be keneged the halacha of lotatem mishprat and acharei rabin la'atot, and it would be lamaisa against halacha that was halacha psuka, and it would be a taya, and it would be chayza. Why is that? Because Reb Nachman holds the rule is kaserva halacha k'rebi michaveiro v'lo michaveirat, that we paskin like Rebbe only where it's a yochid, and in this case it's the rabbi who argue on it. This Reb Nachman said over in the name of Rav. Nachman himself holds. Reb Nachman, did they amar that it's not aser. It's mutter lasers k'divrei Rebbe, because he holds k'sarva halacha k'rebi michaviro vafilu michavira. And so b'meil, it doesn't mean that Reb Nachman holds that there's a psak halacha like Rebbe, because then he wouldn't have said mutter. He would have said, you have to do like Rebbe. But what it means is that it's mutter to go like Rebbe, even Michave Rav, and the psak is 100% like Rebbe when it's Michave Rav. Behold, Omar Rav, asur la'asot k'divrei Rebbe. I agree partially with what Reb Nachman said in the name of Rav, that you're not supposed to do like Rebbe, but I disagree with him in that if it were done, the imasa asui, if it were done, it's not considered to be a ta'ut, and therefore it's not chaser. Why? Because kasavar matinitma. Rava holds that the psak halacha is that you go like Rebbe only michave rov, but if it's michave rav, so then you're matin kedashta rambim. But matin means that you tend in that direction, but it's not a 100% psak that makes it definitive that you have to do like the rabbi. And therefore, even though you shouldn't paskin like Rebbe, if you did, it's not against the halacha. Tani Rav Nachman b'Shar Sifrei de Beirav. Now there was a brisa in the Sifrei, Shar Sifrei. The word Sifrei is a short for the word Shar Sifrei. In other words, the Iker Sefer of Droshas was the Sifrei. The Sifrei is the Pirush which we call Taras Kayani. Shar Sifrei, the other books, that is referring to the Midrashim that we have other than the ones on Taras Kayani. So that this would be on either on Dvorim, or you could have also the Mechilta. Those are the other books, as opposed to Teres Kayani. And this price appears there. And this is what it says. It's interesting, this price does not appear in our Sifri. But in any event, it says like this, that the Pasik B'chol Asher Yimotzei Lo comes to tell me only that which is mamish with him, prat l'shevach shishbichu yorshim la'achar mitat aviyem, but would not include anything that was made to be worth more because of an investment or work that had been done by the members of the family after the father's death. Which means, according to this, that this is not part of the Sifri, but it's the diak we're making. Aval shevach sheshavchu nechasim la'achar mitat aviyem on their own. That if it wasn't tishbichu, but it was automatic, then indeed shokel. So according to this girsa in the Braita, or this Braita, it will be going according to whom? Mani? It will be going clearly according to Rebbe. Because Rebbe Yod Shvachad Memela is considered to be Muchzik and not Roi. Now there's another Braita that was quoted over here by Rami Bar Chama. Tani Rami Bar Chama, Bishar Sifrei de Birav, also not a visible Braita in our Sifrei, that the drush of B'chol Asher Yimotzei Lo is Prat L'Shevach Sheshavchu Nechosim L'Achar Mitat Aviyem. Even passive, in other words, automatic, Shevach Nechosim, that nobody worked on, which is Kol Shekein, now says the Gemara, Shevach Sheshbichu Yoshim L'Achar Mitat Aviyem. For sure, if it needed an investment by the estate, then 100% it would not be considered Motzei. And that does not work according to Rebbe. That would be lo shoklu mani, according to this. Who is the Braita? It's the Rabbanani who hold that you do not take Bishnayim, even in the Chosim. That was shavchu memela. So the case that we had over there was chafura v'havishuvli. That's not considered to be something that you could take, even according to the Rabban. And this is exactly the same. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shmuel. Now, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying that when it comes to a loan, Ein b'chor notel pishnayim demilv. That a b'chor does not take a portion in a loan, even, obviously, we're only talking about, that would be the Kiddush, even where it's in a shtar and he has a lien. Now, was Shmuel here referring to Rabbanan or Rebbe? Lama. It's telling me according to Rabbanan. Hashta. The Rabbanan old even shavacha de'ati b'rshute. De'ite b'rshute. Even in the case where you have a Arav Avishuvle, Chafurav Avishuvle, so it's in his Rishus. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan said, Lo Shakel. So, obviously, a milva where you don't have anything. All you got is a piece of paper. Milva me boy. Somebody needs to tell me that the according to Rabbanan, you don't take milva. That's impossible. Shmuel would have bothered telling us a trivial point. He's got to be saying, even Aliba the Rebbe. So he must hold that even though Rebbe holds that the truth is, if it's Kafurav Avishuvli, it's Biyadai. But when you're talking about a lien, there he has nothing. He has basically a piece of paper that allows him to collect, but nothing that is actually Muxik Biyadai this time. That must be what Shmuel is saying. So he is arguing with our understanding of Rebbe before. And of course that's not possible because we know that Rebbe does not say that. Velohada Tanya, how can you say that Rebbe holds that you don't take a chelik b'chayra in a loan? If it says b'feresh in a braita, that where they were yoshu shtar chov, a b'chor is not a pishnayim, whether it's b'milva or whether it's in the ribit. Now, who would hold that? Money. If Shmuel is saying that, even Rebbe wouldn't hold that. Certainly the Rabbanan don't hold it. So it's lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbanan. So that doesn't make sense. Shmuel could not have been saying that Rebbe holds you do not collect a pishnayim in a loan where there was a contract. Says the Gemara, you're right. Actually, Shmuel was telling us, Aliba de Rabbanan. Liolam le Rabbanan. But according to Rebbe, you would be able to take Pishnayim in a loan that was collected afterwards. So you asked, but that's a trivial point. Obviously, according to the Rabbanan, you can't collect a loan. If you can't even collect the case of Chafur of Avishuvle, no, it's not true. It's trich. It's a chiddush. I'll tell you why. Because Salka Daita Chamina, you might say that in the case of a milva, Kima de Nokit Shtara, because of the fact that you're holding the shtar, and the shtar represents a lien, so then that's the equivalent of collection. Commander Gavia Dami, it's as if he collected it during his lifetime, and because of that, the Bechor would be Naito Pishnayim. Kamash Balan, that even holding a shtar is not considered to be on any level in possession to be considered to be a muxik biyadik. Okay, so according to this, we have a machlokus in the extreme. Rebbe holds you collect even ribit, which the father never owned, as long as you have a shtar to collect it. And the Rabbanan hold, according to Shmuel, you don't collect at all, even the principle, even we had a shtar. Now, tomorrow we're going to see that actually there is a third opinion. And it's possible that a bechor would be noitel pishnayim in the principle of the loan without being able to be noitel pishnayim in the interest that was due on the loan.